John 10:10. Let's read it. If you can't stand, stand. If you can't stand, sit down. If you don't want to stand, that's between you and the Lord. John 10:10, not Psalms 10:10. It might be why y'all be looking at me crazy because y'all can't understand me. Can y'all understand me? Yo, that John 10:10, the other John 10:10. The thief comes not but to what? God came, Jesus came, why? That you might have it more abundantly. Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified. After hearing the word of truth, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I decrease that you may increase. I ask for the utterance, I ask for the anointing, I ask that you would speak like only you can, communicate what I cannot. And Father God, I give you the praise, honor, and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have your seats. Amen. We're going to be talking about today, prepare the way. Say that, prepare the way. The devil has really like been, they can leave that scripture up there. When I put them up, just leave them up for a little bit. Coming at people all kinds of way. Stealing from people, killing, destroying. And again, the inexperienced person blames God. Because they don't know that when the devil does crazy stuff to you, or maybe they don't believe it, that God can actually turn that thing around. God can get you out of it. He can get you out of any negative thing that's happening. Do you believe that? Any negative thing that's happening in your life. Can God heal people at the point of death? Hey, when you're looking at them, it's different. People say, I believe it, till they're looking at them. That's why you got to already be fully persuaded. If you're going to go in there and call yourself praying for somebody to pop up, you got to already know that God can. And the way you do it, you test it. You test it to see, watch this, if they have anything left in them worth living for. What do I mean by that? Things that God has not brought to pass in their life, in the natural, but yet he promised it to them. If they got anything left undone in their life, they still have life in this dimension if they would fight or if somebody would fight for them. But you got to be persuaded before you look into the eyes, because the soul, many people believe, is communicated through the eyes. Like you can look at a person and you can tell they done gave up. You can look at a person and you can tell if they got faith for something. The Bible says that that man at the gate called Beautiful was sitting there, lame, withered. Somebody put him in front of the gate. And Paul is preaching, and Paul looks at him and tells him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'm going to give it to you. And the Bible said he saw faith. He's not death. He not lameness. He saw faith in that man. And Paul said, get up off of your. And the man leaped up and started running and praising God. What am I saying? You can get up out of any situation if you believe God. You can rebound from any negative thing. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's disease. I don't care if it's poverty. I don't care if it's death. I don't care if it's some diagnosis some doctor done gave you. I don't care what it is. Divorce, like people think you can't recover from divorce. Listen, grieve like you need to grieve. purge them from your spirit and then say, now that I'm free, God, can I have another? But either way, I'm not going to sit up and mourn over you all day. I got to keep going. And the devil is behind all of the stealing, all of the killing, all of the destruction, not death in itself. Everybody dying. I say everybody's dying. Every day you get up, we are dying. We got a day. God has already given us a day. You're not going to go past that day, but you do have a day, and you can get up knowing that I'm not going to waste this day. See, when you know that to be true, you don't get up and you waste a day because you had a bad day. I'm in the land of the living. I'm going to give the Lord glory. I'm in the land of the living. I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm in the land of the living. I don't care how bad yesterday was. God is still a good God, and I'm looking for God to do something good for me today. Anybody looking for the Lord to do something good for you today? It's easy to believe for other people. It's easy to believe for other people. It's difficult sometimes to believe for ourselves, because sometimes we don't believe that we deserve it. Do you know why we think like that? Because we know us. And we don't think that we deserve it sometimes. We look at our lives. We look at what we said. We look, watch this. We look at what we've been thinking about. And we say, man, I'm not qualified for this. Does God think like that, though? Does God disqualify you based off anything that you have done? No, you can disqualify yourself, but God don't disqualify us because he came up with something called what? Repentance. And repentance is not, say, repentance ain't a cuss word. Hey, if you give me about 3 minutes, I'll let you go because I know you're tired. I know God been so good to you. You done spent so much money on yesterday and this weekend. I'm going to let you go and get broke. And when you show up next week broke, you'll be ready to listen. I don't mind people going broke. I don't mind people, if sickness is what it's going to take for people to listen, let them be sick. Whatever it takes for a person to get closer to God, and some things you have to allow, because if you intercede for them, they won't take it. They won't take the breakthrough serious. You got to let them go through it. You got to let them hit it. You got to let them get to the lowest and say all that stuff is unnecessary. It's unnecessary. He's saying to us today, no matter what condition that you in, God has made a way out of it. God done made a way out of it. No matter what's happened. Do you know, a lot of times we be crying about things in our life that's wrong in our current, but we the one that contributed to it. We the one who did all this stuff and or participated with the devil to put us in this condition. Do you know a lot of stuff that happened to people's body, even in the form of sickness? You know, sometimes they contributed to it. They didn't take care of themselves. But God, it doesn't matter how you did. My point is, God can get you out. God can turn it around. And so he says to prepare for it. Say prepare for it. Say prepare for it. Preparation is to make ready. Go to Luke 1:17. This is really where this ministry comes from. It's really like two scriptures combined together, but it was primarily this. This is what God had gave me, creating a people that cannot be destroyed, but he says to make ready a people for me. He says, and he's talking in Luke, he says that he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the father to the children. If you ain't heard nothing else, you hear me on these brothers that will not handle their business. What? Turning them towards their children. Now, God had to bring that to my attention because really, I had almost forgot about this, but it really was brought back to my attention when, like, I'm hard on a guy that got kids and won't pay child support. He don't care nothing about himself. His child is him. He won't take care of the child, which means he don't care nothing about himself. What you gonna typically see is reckless behavior. Because they don't care about themselves. even if that's you and you here or you listening, God cares about you. All he's asking you to do is care about yourself and take care of your children. But he says, turn their hearts of the fathers towards their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Do you hear me? People think you just preach because they see it in the faith. They think that's all you preach about is faith. And we do preach about faith a lot. But you know, I know a lot of people's problem in this thing is that they functioned in ignorance by rejecting wisdom because they was living in disobedience. They functioned in ignorance because they rejected wisdom and they chose to listen. They chose to live in disobedience. And disobedience ain't just you disobeying God. The longer you do it, it's proven that a person don't really love God. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. Keep my commandments. So folks say, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. Yeah, and he pitied your every groan. But do you love him like he loved you? Do you love the Lord like you say you do? How many know that it's got to be more than a shout? It's got to be more than church attendance. It's got to be more than just giving a tithe. It's got to be more than that to prove that you love the Lord like he loves. The truth of it is you can't love him like he loves you because he don't have no errors. But yet God loves us with all of our mistakes. No matter what we done, God still loves us. No matter where we come from, God still loves us. Matter of fact, nothing really disqualified us other from God's love other than blaspheming against the Holy Ghost or apostasy where you know the Lord. And you just say, I don't want the Lord no more. I renounce Christianity. I renounce my faith. Them people can live 50 years. They can never be forgiven once they do that. They can live another 100 years. They never gonna make it in. Because they have basically said out of their mouth, they reject him and his goodness, and they know that he's real. But most of the time, when a person thinks that they blasphemed against the Holy Ghost, they feel bad about it. There's no way that they could have blasphemed against the Holy Ghost and feel bad about it. That means that they didn't do it. That means that they're okay with God, and everything else that they've done in their life, say, God will forgive. God will forget. And God will bless. No matter what it is, God will forgive. God will forget. And God will bless you going forward. Don't let people think that you disqualify or make you feel like you disqualify. Do you know when that prodigal son had walked away from his father and went after his riotous living and done all that he needed to do? He didn't need to earn his way back. He just needed to come back to his senses. And when he came back to his senses, the Bible didn't say that he had to do this. He had to just, he couldn't really enjoy himself at the feast because he done messed up so bad. No, the father killed the fatted calf for him, gave him a ring, gave him his robe back. And then he said, enjoy yourself. It was only the people who felt, only the brother rather, who felt like that he needed to earn his way back in, that you shouldn't be doing this for him because of all the stuff, all the reproach he's brought upon the family. I want to tell somebody, even if you've been living in shame, even if you've done some dumb stuff that brought attention to Christianity, don't worry about it. Give it to God and then come back in and put your robe on. Come back in, repent of your foolishness, get your signet ring back on your finger and sit down and just eat until you can't eat no more because God ain't disqualified you. Say, he's preparing a way for some of us to get back. He's preparing a way for some of us to get back. So preparation comes from a word, H-E-T-O-I-M-A-Z-O. And it means to make ready. It means to be absolutely sure in some things, that you positive that you're supposed to be going the way. It's things that are ordained by God. Things which are ordained by God. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. That's ordained. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, not of evil, but to give you an expected end. If your life looked like evil is handling it, that's John 10 and 10. The thief is there to, he's stealing, he's killing, he's destroying, but you have an ordained word from God. I'm preaching to somebody up in here. You have an ordained word from God. And you know something? You was the first person to hear it. It wasn't some preacher. It wasn't some prophet. It wasn't your mama or your daddy. You was the first one to hear it. And when you heard it, you knew you was hearing from heaven. That's an ordained word by God. No matter what your current situation is, that word is what you're supposed to be living. Say, I'm preparing myself. That word is the word you're supposed to be seeing in your life. That word is the word that you should be getting up every time you get knocked down and dusting yourself off and say, I'm not there yet, but I'm closer than I was last year. I'm not close. I'm not there yet, but I'm closer than I was 5 years ago. I'm not there yet, but I'm closer than I was 2 weeks ago. I'm closer than I was. I'll tell somebody, you got an ordained word from God. Don't believe the report of the enemy. He's a liar. He'll even use other people to lie to you. And they know that God can get you up. They know that God can turn it around. They know that God can heal you. And they'll be saying, God don't do it for everything, but so yeah, he's gonna do it for me. He's going to do it for my child. He's going to do it for my husband. Yeah, God going to bless my business. He's going to bless my body. He's going to turn this thing around for me. Maybe he don't, because they don't believe for it. But say, I got an ordained word. Which means that you got future blessings. See, the enemy always want to make people think that God can't, God won't. He make people think they can't recover. He make people think that this is the end for them. You got breath in your body. How can that be the end? You got up and you moving. How can this be the end of your future in God? Everybody make mistakes. A just man falls 7 times and get back up. Why? Because he's not stupid. He know that God is a merciful God. He know that God's mercies are renewed every single day. He know that he ain't done nothing to disqualify himself from God stepping into that. So I got an ordained word. Go to Isaiah 40, please. Because God is trying to get us to prepare for some stuff. Prepare your heart for some stuff. Do you know that sometimes people don't mean to hurt you? Most of our wounds come from the people who handled us first. The nurse was trying to save Saul's son, or Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, and she drops him. But she was trying to help him. And her drop crippled him. It was something that he lived with his whole life. That God didn't heal him. And what happened is that he started to let the external wounds affect his spiritual outlook. So when David sends to go get him, this is in 2 Samuel, when David sends to go get him, he calls himself a dirty dog. Why are you going to be good to a dirty dog? And see, that's what the enemy does to people. He'll make them feel disqualified and dirty and less than, even though God says, your wounds were real, but so am I. Your wounds are real. What happened to you did happen, but I'm just as real as what happened to you. I can take, as long as you don't let it get in your spirit and contaminate you, God can turn it around. Even if the natural situation don't change, you can change, and therefore I'm better either way. I'm still good, but God says prepare the way for him to do something in your heart. Meaning what? I can't keep talking about things folk done to me. You're not preparing to come out. You're looking for attention. And when people give you attention, that's your reward. That's nothing for God to do as long as you talking about it. Justifying why you act the way you act. And God is saying, prepare the way. I want to give you an anointing for that. I want to give you a ministry for that. I want to give you a word that'll breathe hope into people coming out the same situation. But no, we keep on talking about it. We keep on, but we're not prepared for it. So he'll tell us to start preparing our way economically. Preparing your way economically ain't that you get more money. It's that you snatch your soul out of poverty. You start treating what you got like it's $1 million, even if it's $100. You act like you're going to do great things with it, but you got to get your mind out of it first. You got to say that I'm not poverty. I'm not the tail. I'm the head. I'm not beneath. I'm above. I'm going to be blessed in the city. I'm going to be blessed in the field. My children going to be blessed. You start getting yourself out of that situation before anything ever changed naturally for you. You already out. And some of you, you've been doing this stuff already. And God said to confirm to you that even though naturally nothing has changed, you already out. You already out of that situation. You already out of that dilemma. You already out of that sickness. You already saw yourself being healed. Say, I'm preparing the way. Say, I'm preparing the way. I'm preparing my way for my business to show up. I've cleaned up my life. I ain't running around and sleeping around and going around. I'm preparing for God to give me my husband or give me my wife. I'm preparing the way. I done tore my black book up if you got the black book. I done deleted them off my page. I done stopped looking at porn. I done cleaned up my thought life. I'm preparing the way. And when you prepare the way, manifestation happens. See, many times people don't get what God would have gave them because they've not prepared a way for him to do it. They get stuck. They get stuck like Chuck, and they won't do nothing about it. But it's this preparation that God is telling us, say, make yourself ready. Oh, you and Isaac, say, make yourself ready. Tell somebody, grab them by the hand and say, make yourself ready. Your breakthrough is coming. Just hold what you got. Make yourself ready. Clean up your house. Make yourself ready. Make your mind ready. Make your heart ready. Open up your broker's account and then expect God to fill it. Say, make yourself ready. Whatever it is, you got to prepare for what God want to do for you. If you're not prepared, he can't do nothing. Isaiah 40, are you there? In Isaiah 40, in verse number 1, let's look at this. Because one of the things that God has been telling me is that he wants to do some things for his people. If you notice the whole thing during the month of May, June, July, always going to be through August, it's really to encourage people, strengthen people. Why? Make yourself ready. I've seen people, you know, not me personally, but I guess I could fall in that thing, but I didn't put the work in. You know, I had surgery on my shoulder many years ago, and I didn't want to go through the physical therapy. And I didn't. I went one time and I didn't go back. The problem with that is that I didn't prepare myself for the recovery of full strength and motion. And I still don't have it to this day because I didn't prepare to get it. I've seen people that can't walk or have surgery or coming out of paralysis or something. And they get up and they're in pain. But they say, you can get back to full strength. And they get up in pain and they put them hands on them bars and they're going in pain. What are they doing? They're strengthening themselves. They're preparing themselves to do it on their own. That's somebody's word right there. God is saying, get up and do it even if you're in pain. Get up and praise him even if you're hurting. Get up if nobody else in the church service is receiving the word but is resonating in you. You make sure that I know that you have heard me when he's saying, prepare yourself and you get ready. You make sure that I know that you're going to give me what's due unto me so I can give you what's due unto you, that you in a preparation mode, and no matter what nobody else do, they don't need what I need. So you can't expect people to give God what's due to him based off of what you need. You got to give him what you want. You have to make up in your heart that come what may, this is what I'm going to offer unto the Lord. Come what may, this is what I'm going to do for the Lord. Come what may, I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, I'm going to praise, I'm going to keep coming to church, I'm going to get. But you got to prepare for it. But he said, get people strong. Get people strong again. Get them prepared for something. Do you know whatever you focused on, that's what comes to you? I said it before, you looking down, you going down. You looking back, you going back. You look into the hills, you for where your help coming from, God don't show up. But whatever your eyes, whatever your heart is fixed towards, that's the direction that you're going. And the devil is stealing your joy because he got you looking down. He got you feeling like life is over for you, that there's no help for you. Listen, some things you can't go back to, but you can prepare for what's ahead of you. Some things you never get back in this life, but you can't expect God. Say, God, say, prepare for it. Isaiah 40, he said, comfort his people. Comfort ye. Whose people are you? You God's people. You don't think God care about you? You don't think God see you? It doesn't matter if it's in the midnight hour. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. Every step that you've been making around that living room at night, he been making it with you. That's why you've been able to get up even the next day and function, because God was ensuring that you had strength to continue. You got the strength. You just got to keep putting it forward. He says, comfort my people, says the Lord. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she shall receive from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. He says, a voice cries in the wilderness. And the wilderness is that place where you feel alienated from God. You feel abandoned, and you feel like, you know, your impulses can get away when you're in the wilderness. Because in the wilderness, we do dumb stuff because we don't think that it matter. But God is calling some of us out of wilderness periods. He calling us back to a place where you know that you matter, and the things that he going to have you involved in going to solidify, say, I matter. He going to solidify that you matter to the kingdom, but you can't live like you alienated. He says, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for God. Say, prepare the way. Make straight a highway in the desert for the Lord. What does that mean? Sometimes you're looking at something that if you are prepared for God, God will receive it. He'll show up in an area that you didn't think was, that, watch this, had no value at all to God. He'll use you to do things that you thought were insignificant for God, but then God lends on it. He says, prepare, make straight in the desert a highway for the Lord. He says, every valley shall what be? They're going to be lifted up. Every mountain is going to be made low. Every valley, every person, Jesus said, the last shall be, and the first shall be, the last shall be, and the first shall be. What does that mean? It means that sometimes people can get so self-exalted that that becomes their biggest hindrance to God. But while they exalting theyself, you humbling yourself, and therefore God say, you're going to pass the same people that's been laughing at you on their way down and your way up. The same one who thought that you was nothing and wasn't going to be nothing and that you wasn't going to recover from what you was going through. They got puffed up where they at, and God say, I'm going to give them a humbling aid to bring them down, but you've been humble, so I'm going to lift you up. You show pleasure in me no matter what situation you've been in. Say, I'm preparing the way. God gonna lift me up. He said, the uneven ground shall become level and the rough places shall be made plain. So God oftentimes clears out the junk in our life, the rough places. Because a lot of times what people teach people is that in this era, once you get everything fixed, then God will come through and he'll do something. If that be true, then nobody would have no hope. If God couldn't be good to me as a sign to move me towards repentance, Paul said the goodness of God sometimes lead a person to repentance. They know they don't deserve it. They know they don't deserve the woman or the man that they, you know, the way they treated men or treated women or whatever they was doing. And then God give them a good husband, give them a quality wife. And they said, I don't deserve this. Nobody deserves it. It's God's goodness. And what people teach people, once you get everything straight, then God gonna come through for you. Well, they won't have no hope to keep believing for God to come through. They won't have the ability to see themselves coming up out of whatever, the, say, prepare the way. God is saying he gonna come through. He gonna clear the brush. He gonna clear off the rough places of your life so he can get through to you. Anybody need the Lord to get through to you? The corrupt places, the unregulated desire places. Can God save them people? See, because the truth of it is, churches only want people that's just like them. Because they're spiritually lazy and powerless. So if you come in and you already fixed, there's nothing for me to do. All we're going to do is praise the Lord together. No, some people need to be deliverers. Jesus came for people that couldn't get delivered, people that were sick who couldn't help themselves. He said, I'm coming for them people. And that's what the church better get hungry for, the heathen as their inheritance. We got to stop believing God for people that's going to come through and they got it all together, that they come in and they can preach and help you out with your sermons. No, people that are broken don't have nothing to offer, but God got something to offer them. That's what you got to get hungry for. Those people that come in, they ain't got no tithe money, but when you preach to them long enough, they're going to give God the best that they got 100% of the time. These are the people, say, make way, that God is saying, make way for it. In other words, you ain't got to fix everything in your life before God comes to you. All you got to do is just make yourself ready. People say, when I get myself straight, then I'm going to serve. You ain't going to never get straight. And the fact that you think that you can do it once you get straight, that means that you've been prolonged in that condition so long, the devil been duking you so long to think that you can help yourself. Tell somebody, you can't help yourself. You need the Lord to help you. You can't help yourself out of that. You need to be healed right now. You need your emotions straight right now. The Lord got to help you. Your wounds go way deep. Your wounds are invisible. Your wounds, it can't nobody even understand you, but the Lord understands you. Say, prepare for the Lord to come through. He says, and the glory of the Lord shall be, what? Revealed. Verse number 5, revealed to you. All flesh gonna see it. Isn't that good news? That you ain't got to prance around when God move in your life. Everybody see it. Do you know what gets me? A lot of time, people that exaggerate the blessing, God didn't bless them. They did that. When God do it, you ain't got to announce it. People will look at you and they say, man, you look different. You sound different. You ain't got to announce it because God is doing, that's the glory. When the glory is on something, you don't have to announce it. He makes sure everybody know that God is, say, God is in the building. He says, and the word of God will stand forever. I'm almost done. A voice saying, cry. He says, what you gonna cry? He says, all flesh is as grass. You is withering. Everybody gonna die. And all of his beauty is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fade. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, he says, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade. Watch this. But the word of God does what? The word, you got an ordained word. It's going to stand for how long? It's going to stand for how long? So he says, no matter what you've been going through in your life this past year, no matter how bad it is, God says, I'm about to comfort you. He said, I'm about to comfort you. All that suffering, he said, everybody got to suffer at some point in your life. Because sometimes the struggles that we have with our health, our mental, our physical stuff that's going on, is because it's sometimes it's stuff that we walked away from and left undone. We walked away from stuff, we left it undone, and then it showed up in our life. And so God is saying, everybody going to suffer sometimes, but you got to commit that stuff unto him. God has a way of turning it around to bless that situation. And that's what he said to tell somebody this morning, Tell somebody, say, it's not going to be like that always. I know you feel like you're not going to get through it, but tell them it's not going to be like that always. One day you're going to lay down and you're going to wake up and it's going to all be over. One day you're going to go to bed heavy. You're going to get back up. You're going to be looking for the junk. It's going to be gone. God going to do it at a time when you don't think it needs to be done or it deserves to be done. God going to come through and he's going to make it all be better. So it's not going to be like this always. And so we got to take comfort because God ain't no respecter of person. In theory, what God has done for me, he'll do for you. Because he no respecter of person. What he done for her, he'll do for you. Because he no respecter of person. What he's done for one church, he'll do for another church. Say, God ain't no respecter of person. Say, what he's doing for others, God gonna do for me. Say, what he's doing for others, God is gonna do for me. And greater works than these shall I see. Say, what he's doing for others, God gonna do for me. And greater works than these shall I see. And I'm gonna give him all the glory, all the glory, all the glory. I'm gonna give it to my great God because God ain't no respecter of person. He'll do the same thing for you that he, that the people that you've been looking at, God will do the same. God, say, I got next. I got. So Israel was coming out of warfare. They was coming out of this warfare. And the Bible said that the enemy had been using, had been used to really discipline them. And they were coming out of captivity. They were coming out of bondage. And they were going through turmoil in their life. But they were changing. They changed. God had said, God knew how long to keep them in, to change them. I believe it was 70 years. But God knew what it was. See, a lot of times we be begging God to get out, and he know how long you need to stay in to change. So he sets the time limit because he already all-knowing. And he's trying to see if we'll conform to the process of change that he know it's going to take to get us where we need it. And when they begin to change, the Bible says that, watch this, God told the prophets to comfort them. He told them to give them a word to comfort them as they were coming out of captivity, as they were coming out of bondage. God is telling them, he comfort them. Do you know if a person is down, you just can't keep standing on their neck? You can't just keep going at a person and you know they already down. At some point, if you don't give them a chance, and that says, Bishop used to always say this, sometimes you know a person done messed up and they know they done messed up. But he says, rather than keep going at them, this is what Bishop used to say. He says, sometimes you got to give them the way of escape. Don't just keep going at them. They know they messed up. You know they messed up. Give them a way of escape. Why? So they can potentially recover. You want them on your side. You want them back in your life. And so they're coming out of this warfare, and God said, comfort my people. Because they comfort them. He says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem, cry to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she may receive from the Lord hand double for all of her sin. And he said to tell somebody this morning, he said, your warfare has ended. Boy, you better receive what I'm saying. You better receive what I'm saying. He said, your warfare has ended. He said, you've been fatigued, but it's now a period of rest for you. All that anxiety and stress that's bogged you down, he said, you're going to go through a period where it's, don't look, he said, don't look at the natural, don't look at the natural. He said, but rely on his loving kindness. Rely on the fact that God is a good God and God can be good to a person, even that have come out of a bad, say, my warfare has ended. Say, I'm entering into a rest period. Listen, you can't fight in this walk the whole time you're on the earth. I know people think they demon slayers, and they very well may be. But you're not going to fight every single second of your life on this earth. Matter of fact, David was caught at home with Bathsheba in a warfare that he shouldn't have even been in, because David was at home because they was in a period of rest from warfare. What am I saying? God has got plenty examples where he would get them out and give them periods of rest. He would end the warfare. He would give them a chance to pour out into themselves and build themselves up. Say, God is preparing a way for me to get out of this. You should take it. You should not thumb your nose at this word. Say, my warfare is ended. Whatever you've been dealing with, God said it's over. It's nothing left for you to pay for. He done paid for it all. I say, Jesus done paid for it all. He's done pardoned your sins. There's nothing left for you to pay for. You are to repent, but you ain't got to pay for it no more. He's pardoning the iniquity and the sins and the punishment that's associated with them. And so the thing that the devil has been using to create warfare in your life, say, my warfare has ended. You got to prepare for something else now. Tell somebody, I'm making my way back to God. So I'm making my way back to God. Get your spiritual rest. Get your place where you can relax again and get yourself built back up. God tell everybody, everybody say, I'm preparing my way. I'm preparing the way. I'm preparing my way for the Lord to be good to me. If you think you deserve evil or bad stuff to come on your life, man, you're listening to the devil. God made a way of escape from that. From all of the penalty of sin, Jesus paid for that. And we keep paying because we won't take the way of escape. And the way of escape, in many cases, it starts with, the preparation starts with repentance. I'm not going to get to where I want to. It starts with repentance. It's turning from whatever it is and turning to God. Turning from it. Turning to God. Meaning that sometimes I can't keep focusing on what I can't change. I got to turn to God. I can't keep looking at this day after day. I can't keep listening to this day after day. I got to turn to God. See, a lot of times people are broken in their spirit, but they keep looking at something that ain't gonna change. What should they do? Help me out. Help me out. They should turn to God. They should stop focusing on what can't change and start living for what God can change in their life. They got to reverse it from this and start looking at God. Reverse it from the death and start looking at God. Reverse it from the sickness, start looking at God. Stop looking at what you don't have and praise God for what's coming. But I got to reverse it. And in many cases, we need to repent for the fact that we don't think that God can be good to us. What did he say? We need to repent from not thinking God couldn't be good to us. How many know that no matter how good God has been to you, he can be better? There's no limitations on God. And what you know what he points out to us? He points out people to us that was in the same situation and how they didn't make it back. How it worked out for them. How they could never seem to get they fire back from God. Tell somebody, give somebody a high five and say, I'm going to make it back and you're going to make it back too. Say, I'm going to make it back. I'm going to make it back. I don't care how long I've been out of it. I'm going to make it back to God. God going to make a way out of no way. He'll cut a way out of no way to make a way to ensure that you got a way. I say, God will cut a way out of no way to make a way for you so you will have a way when you thought there was no way. Say, he's making a way for me. So I got to do what? I got to prepare for it. Can you take 5 minutes? I promise you I'll be done. The preacher's job is to make the people ready for the move of God. The worst thing a person can do is have another person preach on their sins all the time. They not giving them a way out. I've lived there. I thought I was doing right. It was partially right. People can't be freed unless they know truth in an area. But it ain't my job to hammer it home. It's my job to make the people ready for God. I can't save you. I can't deliver nobody. People think they got a deliverance ministry. Do you really got a deliverance ministry? I thought God was doing a deliverance. You have a location. God has the ability. But you can't make nobody do nothing. You can't heal nobody that don't want to be healed. Our job is to try to prepare them to get ready. It's like a nurse. You don't just walk off the street and go into the operating room and take off your clothes and just lie on the bed and say, I'm ready for surgery. Right? Any medical people in here? You got to be in processed. I'm talking about after you done went through your little exams. You got to be in process. They clean your body. Mm-hmm. They put you in that streaker gown. Right? They put you in that bed. And watch this. And they wheel you out of the room towards the surgery room. But you don't go into the surgery room. Mm-hmm. They transfer you from one bed that could be contaminated to another bed, right? Then they prep you again. And they keep asking you, I don't know, I think they have crazy or got amnesia or something because they keep asking you what your name is. I said, don't ask me my name no more. You're the same woman. I done told you my name 5 times. Don't ask me my name. Don't ask me my name no more. But they keep asking you your name. Why? Before you go in to meet God, you got to know who you already are in Him. You have to know who you are in. And the preacher's job is to make sure that you know who you are. They confirmed it. But he's not the surgeon. He's just making you ready for what God can do for you. And when they get ready to take you back, they take you and they put you under, right? If it's a surgery, most of the time, if it's not some non-invasive surgery, they put you out. They give you anesthesiology or something, whatever they call it, and they take you out. Meaning that many times when you get ready to go before God for God to do something, you got to lose sight of who you were before you met Him and let Him give you what He needs you to have. You got to, co-pastor said all the time, step outside of yourself. You have to step. You're in there, but you ain't in the way no more. And many times God can't do what He wants to do for us because we can act like we're getting ready for Him, but we in the way. We're trying to do too much rather than just let God do what He's going to do. You're in the way. You can't fix yourself. And then they take you back once you out the way, and then the servant does what He gonna do. What am I saying for you? Now that you out the way, get ready for God to do what He needs to do in your life. Now that you are spiritually out of the way, watch God fix that thing for you. Now that you are out of the way, you done prepared. My job is just to make you ready, to tell you what God is gonna do for you. You're gonna come out healed. You're gonna come out delivered. You're gonna live in a blessed place. Your family is gonna be restored. You're gonna get your right mind back. You're gonna get your joy back. God is going to bless you. God is gonna help you recover. Tell somebody, say, prepare the way. And the way you prepare the way is by getting out of the way. You prepare the way by getting out the way. And many times God can't move in people's life because you in the way. I thought it was my life. No, your life has been hidden in Him. You've been bought with a price. It's His body. It's His spirit that's in you. It's in Him that you're living and you're moving. Say, I belong to God. Say, my body belongs to God. My mind belongs to God. My life belongs to God. All that I am belongs to God. If you know that, you will get out the way. And once you get out the way, you prepared the way, and God gonna make a way out of no way for you. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Let's get ready to get out of here. God gonna make a way for you. God has already made a way for you. In dry places, in wilderness places, in dead places, God done made a way for you. He getting you out of dead situations. He's bringing you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Say, my life is changing. Shout, my life is changing. Shout, my life is changing. Say, my life is changing. God is taking you out of dry places and low places and perverted places and lonely places and hurting places and poor places. Your life is changing. Your marriage is changing. Don't give up on your partner. God can save that man. He can save that woman. Say, my life is changing. Don't give up on yourself. Everybody done made mistakes. Say, my life is changing. My life is changing. Everybody got problems. Say, my life is changing. But now you out the way. Watch what God gonna do for you. And I don't mean in months and years. I'm telling some of you, not many day hence, you're gonna lay down and you're gonna wake up and your change is gonna happen. It's going to be just that swift for you. You're going to lay down and you're going to rise up. What is he doing? You stepped out of that dark season into a season of light. You're going to lay down and you're going to get up and you can say, I went down in darkness. I got up in God's marvelous light. You're going to lay down and you're going to get up and it's going to all be over. And I don't know who is hurting in this place, but I can feel your pain. And God said, you're going to lay down and you're going to wake up and it's going to all be over. And just like that, God going to tap you in a whole nother chapter of your life, a whole nother place where he's going to do some new things. Shout new things three times. New things. They coming your way. I said they coming your way. I say some new stuff is coming your way. Some new people are coming your way. Some new friends are coming your way. Some new money is coming your way. A new healing is coming your way. A freshness is coming your way. A peace that surpasses all of your understanding is coming your way. You don't have to know how. You don't have to know when. You just have to know God. I say you don't have to know how. You don't have to know when. You just have to know God. And if God is really for you, I say if God is really for you, nothing that the devil done brought your way gonna be against you. It's going to be ineffective.